What did the wise men, the magi, expect to find in Bethlehem? What did they think they would find under that star? These men, these magi, almost come out of the fog, the mist of the east, very mysteriously. We hear nothing about them before this account and nothing about them afterward. They are perhaps more unexpected visitors to the Christ child than the shepherds are. So therefore, in order to answer this question, what did they expect to find? I think we have to ask the question, who were these men? Well, from what scripture and historical analysis tell us, the Magi were most likely from Persia, modern-day Iran. And it is likely that they were magicians, astrologers, men who interpreted the stars and nature to advise kings and pagan nobles as to the governance of their kingdom. They probably would have been highly intelligent men to hold these positions, so they would have been the intellectuals of their society. We call them kings, as in the song, The Three Kings, because of the first reading we have, the prophecy from Isaiah, where it says that kings and nations will bring gifts of frankincense and gold to the new Messiah. We have these mysterious men come to Jesus. When a Jewish reader would read of this passage, of this encounter with the Christ child and the Magi, the first thing that would pop into their mind would be the opponents of the Jewish people to, say, the prophet Moses in Egypt or Daniel in Babylon, where these astrologers would try and combat the worship of the one true God with paganism. And they would say, why would such people be the first, the privileged visitors to Jesus, this new Messiah? So since these magi were magicians, astrologers, men of great intelligence, it is probable that they expected this new Messiah to come with great glory, in a palace, with armies and guards, and the great pomp and circumstance of his position. But it was not so. So they reach Israel. They reach Herod, the king of the nation, and he does not even know that a new king has been born within his kingdom. Then they go to Israel, or then they go to Bethlehem. And it says that the gospel tells us they were overjoyed to have the star precede them, to guide them to their destination. And then they reach the Christ child. The gospel tells us that on entering the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. When I read that and was praying over that, the scripture kind of stopped me right there. What was their first impression of Jesus? They expected this grandeur, and they found this cave used as a home, as a stable for animals. This child, this new king, and his parents were destitute, the poorest of the poor. There was no palace, no armies, no generals, no kings. There was no pomp and circumstance. Rather, they found a child wrapped in humility, approachability, and innocence. This new king was unlike anything they had expected. This new king was God come to earth, God with us, Emmanuel. And it says that in the midst of this unexpected encounter, that the wise men prostrated themselves and did him homage. This here was no pagan God. This was the one true God come to earth. And they were the privileged visitors to this encounter. The love of God was surprising from the very beginning and caught all people off guard, from the shepherds to Mary to the Magi. The love of God was surprising from the very beginning, and perhaps what is more important, his love is still surprising for us today. Today we celebrate the Feast of Epiphany, which literally means to reveal. Today we celebrate the revealing of God, Jesus Christ, to all the nations. As I said in the beginning of Mass, yes, Jesus came at Christmas. He was born in that manger and was announced to the shepherds. But he came in smallness, in secrecy, in intimacy. But he is to be proclaimed to all the world, and that is what we celebrate today. There are several events in Jesus' life which can be called epiphanies. We have the Magi, we have the baptism in the Jordan where the clouds opened up, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove, and the voice of the Father proclaimed, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we also have the wedding feast at Cana, that first great miracle of Jesus. Jesus surprised people throughout his ministry. He flipped their expectations upside down, and he does so for us today. I use this theme of flipping expectations upside down in my Christmas homily, and I thought I would take this theme and develop it a little further. Oftentimes when we pray to God and we ask for different gifts or ask for different blessings, we often have our expectations flipped upside down. Often we ask for a great manifestation of God's power, of God's love, and he comes in very small ways, just what we need. The Magi experienced this, didn't they? When expecting a great king clothed in majesty, they saw a humble child in a manger. But the reverse is also true. Sometimes we expect a small gift, something very humble. Lord, all I want is this little thing to get me through. And the Lord blows our expectations out of the water. In 1263, a German priest named Father Peter was going on a pilgrimage from Germany all the way down to Rome. He was walking this long journey. And history tells us this Saint Father Peter was a very pious man, a very prayerful man. But he was going through a bit of a crisis in his priesthood because he had difficulty believing that during Mass, the bread and the wine would actually turn into Jesus' body and blood. He had difficulty believing that. And isn't that sometimes, at different points in our life, we can have difficulty believing that as well. And in thinking about Father Peter, I can imagine him asking our Lord, "Lord, as I read over Scripture, as I contemplate this mystery of your body and blood at Mass, just enlighten my mind. Show me your truth. Just show me just a little insight, and I'll be fine." But Father Peter is making his way down Italy, all the way to Rome, and he stops along these little towns and villages to celebrate Mass every day. One day, he's in a town called Bolsena. He's celebrating Mass, and at the point of the consecration, where the priest says, "This is my body," that point of the change when the bread and wine turn into Jesus' body and blood, and as he says those words, the host starts to bleed, and his hands start to be covered with blood gushing from the host. Father Peter is shocked and has no idea what to do with this, so he kind of tries to hide the fact that this host is bleeding right before him. And yet, everyone sees it. And he asks to be taken to Orvieto, a small town nearby, where Pope Urban IV was staying for a time. And he showed the Pope this great miracle, that this host would show the underlying reality of the Eucharist, that this truly was Jesus' body and blood. Father Peter probably only asked for a little insight and was given one of the greatest Eucharistic miracles we have in church history. Something so small, asked for something so small, and his expectations were blown out of the water. Incidentally, I have seen the cloth that has the stains of that blood on it in Orvieto. It's still there today. This miracle is an incredible miracle we can still witness to this day. We often expect God to come in a certain way, either large or small, and he often surprises us, catches us off guard. For Father Peter, like most of us, we only expect the Eucharistic host to remain as it is. But what is it really underneath? Jesus Christ, his body and his blood. The Magi expected a great, finely adorned king, and instead they found God as a little child, adorned in humility and poverty. God surprises us with his love every day. On this feast of Epiphany, there is one more insight we can take from the Magi. The gospel tells us that after their encounter with Jesus, they departed for their own country by another way. Yes, we can take this line and say they were just trying to avoid Herod and the destruction that Herod wished to impose upon the child Jesus. But is there another deeper meaning in this line? They departed for their own country by another way. Every encounter with God's love changes us. We are set down the road toward our true home, our true country, and that is heaven. Every encounter with God's love sets us further and further down that way that we can journey to Him. Has God ever surprised you in your life by an encounter with His love? Did you expect Him to come in large, magnificent ways and then were surprised when you were encountered with a small act of kindness, the kind word of a friend, or perhaps just the insight in prayer that everything would be okay? Perhaps do you expect God to come in a small way and then get blindsided with a gift that you never expected? Perhaps you asked for merely the strength to get through an illness and then received a miraculous healing. Perhaps you desired to only have enough money to get by, and then you were provided with abundance. Perhaps instead of merely a listening ear, you received a lifelong friend. We just had our winter relief program here at the parish, where we housed and fed homeless for a week. As I was thinking about this winter relief program, the volunteers were able to talk with the homeless, able to feed them, but also talk with them, get to know their stories and pray with them. And I got to wondering, did some of these homeless men and women expect merely to be fed physically and then realize that they might have been fed spiritually, even if that spiritual food was the size of a mustard seed? Did the volunteers who worked at Winter Relief expect to be serving others, and then at a certain point realize that they were being served by the mere opportunity to serve Jesus Christ in one of his distressing disguises? The Magi walked away from an encounter with Jesus Christ forever changed because they felt and knew his love. Has God ever surprised you with his love? Are you looking for God's love to surprise you? If you look for that love, he will find you, and your life will change forever. This I promise you.